In today's episode of Pioneers, we're having a conversation with Matt Yucca, motion designer and founder of Mount MoGraph. He was one of the first to share his knowledge of motion design on YouTube and has attracted a big audience with that. He's currently working on plugins for Adobe After Effects and Premiere Pro, like Boombox, Wander, and of course his most popular plugin, Motion 3, used by more than 80,000 people worldwide.
This is Pioneers, a podcast where the two founders of Antiwave sit down to have a conversation with unique and innovative people, giving these people a platform to tell their story and giving you the knowledge to improve in your endeavors. Enjoy listening to Pioneers.
Welcome to Pioneers. We are your hosts, Luc Turbain and Gilles Debrun from Antiwaves. And today we're here with Matt Yucca, founder of Mount MoGraph. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing super. I'm glad to be here. It's pretty cool. This is my first like podcast I've ever done or interview.
Nice.
So see how it goes. But I'm excited to get to talk with you guys.
That's cool, man. That's cool. So, yeah, Matt, let's actually jump right in. You know, we were thinking like a lot of people, they might know you from your like After Effects plugins and, of course, maybe the YouTube tutorials you've made on Mount MoGraph that also revolve around like motion graphics and all that stuff. So what kind of sparked your interest in motion graphics and what drew you actually deeper into this field?
So yeah, this is actually like a pretty long story. I'll try to keep somewhat condensed.
Cool.
But yeah, it basically started. I don't even want to say I like knew I was getting into motion graphics or animation to start. It really was just like, I think my interest is just in media and like creating digital stuff. And so this interest, I guess, kind of started when I was like maybe 7 or 8 years old on a pretty sweet program called MS Paint, if you're familiar.
Yes, we are.
I used to actually, so this is really funny. I didn't even really, I don't think, knew what animation was. But back then, I used to like draw in Microsoft Paint. Like I'd draw something and then I'd press Command Z. So, you know, if you could like do Command Z and Shift Command Z, it's like going back and forward, similar to like frame by frame animation. So here I am, like the 7 or 8 year old kid. I would like just draw in like Microsoft Paint. I'd like be like, Mom, Dad, come on over. You got to see this. And then I'd just hold Command Z. And in like a second, you'd just see like all the stuff I made just kind of like
That's cool.
fly by. And this was like my first animation. So it was just like this mix about my parents just being like amazed about like, oh, yeah. My God, like you made a circle, you know. And yeah. Here I am just holding Command Z. You can't record this. You can't share it. You know, you're actually undoing the work you made.
Yeah.
So this was kind of my start. But yeah, so it was just kind of like funny. Obviously, I just had a home computer when I started. And, you know, when you're limited on a home computer, you know, there's like only a couple of programs. So there's like MS Paint. There's like PowerPoint animation. There's like Excel, all these kind of like not good programs. But yeah, so it's kind of like I just started dabbling around with my computer and eventually got into PowerPoint somewhere around like 1999, early 2000s. And I guess I should also mention I'm like 30. So like I was born in 1990 just to give some sort of reference.
Yeah,
I think sounds,
the beginning
I guess
of,
I'm
like,
old
yeah.
already. It's yeah. crazy. but yeah, so I was like, then I got into PowerPoint, you know, when I was maybe like 10 or 11 years old. And in PowerPoint, if you remember like back in the day, there used to be like things called transitions. So you could like you'd add like a text or something to your screen and click this like automatic transition and it would slide on the screen and look amazing. So it was like basically if you imagine like the worst PowerPoint you've ever seen in your life from like the 90s, this is like what I thought animation was and I was super hooked on it. So
nice.
You know, now I wasn't just doing like Command Z. I'd like call over my parents and be like, look at this PowerPoint I made. I mean, it was next level.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, it was pretty funny, but again, it was like, it was really funny. I just like didn't have like actual animation applications, so I had to get like a little bit more creative in how to use PowerPoint. And like back then, you could kind of like dig into the transitions and like click, like I don't know, down into like a customized button. And there's like a keyframe option. And I think I was like maybe 11, and it was like the first time I ever saw like a keyframe, but it was like a PowerPoint keyframe. So I don't even know if it was like a real keyframe. I don't know what the heck it was doing. But just because of that, I just started like getting really interested in like the whole concept of like making buttons. And like in PowerPoint, you know, you could like click something and interact with it. So you could like have a button So I'd make like these stupid games. Again, this was to entertain my parents, apparently. But I'd make nice. Like these games like, do you want to fight a monster? Click this button. Do you not? And click this button. So like if you click the not, it would be like go to a screen and like this little character would just like run off the screen. Or you click fight the monster.
That's amazing, man.
And it would show like a, I don't know about amazing. But it was like, it was just like this weird thing about like trying to just make do with like what we had.
Yeah.
And my parents just saw like I was really interested in computers and stuff. So they actually signed me up for this pretty cool like after school program, like a summer animation course for Flash animation. So like do you guys remember like Flash games? I'm guessing. Yeah. They were super popular at one point. I think now they're just a security liability. But yeah, back then it was like it was really cool. So like, you know, I was coming from PowerPoint and Microsoft Paint. My parents are like, wow, this kid seems to like showing us things on the computer. Let's try to make this more productive. So they put me in like this animation course for Flash animation. So that was like when I was introduced to like frame by frame animation or like true animation. And back then they had something called tweens. I think they still have it. And it was called like in between. So that's like the space between keyframes. So it was just like, I started to understand, I'm sorry, am I getting like off track?
This is definitely interesting. tell us more.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. But yeah, so they had something in Flash called like in-betweens, which is like these basic keyframes. Again, it was like an upgrade from Microsoft Paint. It was an upgrade from PowerPoint. I mean, now I'm in Flash. I mean, sign me up for the big gigs, you know?
Starting getting real. But
it was pretty sweet because like over two different summers, my parents signed me up for this course and like we actually would make like a legitimate game, like a real animation. It was like a Flash game or something. Mine was like a dude getting stuck on an island that had to like collect coconuts or something. I don't know what the heck it was. It was a horrible game. But it was funny because like back then, you know, like you needed like kind of specialized computers. And like obviously I had like a pretty crappy home computer. But so I did like these courses and back then they had like these super giant floppy disks. I don't even know what they were called, but like you needed like a special like thing on your computer to even be able to like load the file.
Yeah.
So I like went home and I was like, wow, mom, dad, check out this awesome like coconut animation I made. Turns out we don't have the application. It's expensive and I can't even like put the floppy disk in the computer.
You couldn't even play it like,
It was kind of funny. And I wound up like using PowerPoint again. So this was pretty depressing, but eventually my parents like realized like, he really seems to love this digital stuff. So they bought me Flash, which was cool. I still wasn't able to load the project, which was funny. I never actually saw the project again.
Do you still have the disc, the floppy disk?
I'm sure my mom probably does. But yeah, maybe it's an eBay search. Try to find this little module.
That would be nice.
So that's kind of funny. But so I like started doing just like Flash at home and whatnot. And like slowly just from being on like Adobe Flash, I kind of started to learn like Photoshop, which is kind of like, it's like your introduction into like the Adobe environment seems to be like Photoshop, Flash. Maybe like today people today would go for After Effects or for another program. But like back then it was like, hey, images. That's pretty exciting.
That was it already. Like images was the most exciting thing to kind of edit and stuff, you know, obviously.
100%. And so it was just like this funny time. Like somewhere around that time, I guess I was like maybe 13 or 14, I started playing like guitar. So like, I don't know. It sounds like, I think, Jewel, you kind of did music, it sounds like.
I do. Yeah, I do. I'm in music too. So yeah. So then you kind of moved to guitar or moved to music a bit too. Yeah.
But if you think about like guitar, it's all about like, you know, like the pedals, like plugging in these chords, you have like different amps, you know, you're always trying to like upgrade your microphones, like figure out how to record stuff. So this is, again, kind of just ties into like how I loved media. Like it was just like, I was on my computer, but now all of a sudden it was like a computer, but I have a reason now to like make something and get it on computer. So I started like messing around with like some audio tools, you know, again, these are some bad recordings I'd never share, you know. It's just like this funny kind of snowball effect of like just getting into applications and media and different ways.
Trying some stuff and see what works and what you like and stuff.
Yeah, it's just like trying to find a way to express yourself with no money.
That's pretty doable. Like if you have like a laptop and even like you say, just these applications like PowerPoint, if you're just being creative, it's like almost unlimitless what you even can do with like a program like that. You know, it's pretty sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually really funny. I mean, even I saw recently this really cool gallery that was MS Paint artwork that people still use the program today to make retro artwork, and you're like, yeah, that's kind of cool. It's, you know, it, so it, it is funny. Yeah, yeah. You're not you don't have to be limited by your medium, which I guess is something kind of interesting. But yeah, so kind of after guitar, after Photoshop, after Flash, you know, I was just at this point, I'm like, I want to just make things. I don't really know what, you know, just I want to just be creating digital things. I guess you'd call it animation at that point, but it was more just media, a Flash game or something.
Yeah.
But cool thing at this point was my grandpa was actually a watercolor artist, and he would paint all this, really cool. He was actually had a gallery and stuff, and would always be selling his artwork. But he actually taught me how to draw and whatnot. So, you know, at that point, I'm in my notebooks all the time, drawing and sketching. I'm nice. Making music in Flash, and it all just was kind of combining. But it was cool because I think around that time, maybe I was 13 or 14, my dad had a business trip to Japan. And when he came back, you know, again, back in the day, the internet wasn't the same, or stores weren't really the same. There wasn't the same global awareness that you have. My dad brought back these really cool anime comic books, for Gundam, if you guys know that. That's mech suit. It's the mech suit robot. I don't know. It was it's this Japanese show, but it was basically you know, my whole life I was watching Ninja Turtles and stuff. And then all of a sudden you see Japanese artwork and these crazy comic books with all these different crazy colors.
Yeah.
And it was just man, all of a sudden it was just oh wow. There's you know, if you think about Japanese artwork or comic artwork, it's much more animation style, or it, you know, it lends itself easier to that. Or it's in my head, I guess I made the connection easier.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, at this point I was all about Flash, drawing in my notebooks. I'd be writing up silly ideas for more Flash games. You know, at this point I had graduated from collecting coconuts. I think one of the games back then was a Superman, and the more trash cans you had to jump over, your cape got bigger. It didn't do anything. Your cape just got larger. So it's that's, you know, what Superman doesn't want a big cape. But yeah, so I guess that puts me somewhere around 2004, if I should continue with this long saga.
Yeah.
But yeah, so please, 2004, dude. I was pretty much entering high school at 14 years old. And so I went to I grew up in Michigan, in kind of a small town in Michigan. The town I grew up in was Novi, which stands for the number 5 railroad stop. Novi, you know. So yeah, it was now it's kind of different, but back then there wasn't a lot of options, and the school I went to definitely wasn't good. But they had this really cool class called WLTV, which was Walled Lake Television, and yeah, it was a TV class in high school from my teacher, Miss Pulowski. I got to give her a shout out. She was probably biggest influence in my life in terms of a teacher, Miss P. So shout out,
shout
Miss
out to her.
For sure. But yeah, it was really actually a pretty cool and unique program. It's during my normal school day, all through high school, I would get a 2-hour block where I just didn't have to take a history or math class or anything boring. And I go to this TV production class. And what was really, really cool about that is we had a studio in the back. We had a big green screen. We had a directing studio with a switchboard. Yeah. It was like a 70s news show where it's you know, if you imagine kind the guys with guys smoking cigarettes or something. It was that. But I mean, obviously not cigarettes or anything. Cool. But in high school, we had all this old gear, but it was kind of we could run an old news show. So yeah, it's just I kind of started to get experience being a director, a sound guy, a production assistant, a camera one, camera two, floor manager,
doing
all these,
everything.
Yeah, all these weird, I mean, it's in high school, so it was all fake jobs, but it was cool because in this class we all got to rotate around between the different things and just kind of understand what went into video production. Again, it's older video production because it's outdated stuff that we got years later, but it was still a really cool I never had used a video camera before, you know what I mean? Just slowly learning how media can about work this. Together and about new things. So yeah, that was really cool. But Miss P was a really awesome teacher, she's a pretty powerful person, and she just was like all about us like trying to stay creative and just like make things we're interested in. So
yeah,
like
that's good.
Each week should be like, okay, just make a video, and be like, about what? She'd be like, I don't care.
Just do it. Yeah. That's really
so that was really fun. And I guess like during that time, you know, I made everything from like weird green screen animations to like movies about like save the watershed and rivers from pollution, you know.
Yeah,
just like
crazy. Yeah,
high school projects.
That's pretty cool. It's really cool to see that. Yeah, and you, like you definitely like put that time and effort into making all of this, you know, in a young age, which then eventually also resulted, you know, because somewhere in your life you have to do all this work and gather all this knowledge to eventually, you know, to be able to do something also with it. But it seems like that high school period was like a really great like learning experience for you there. Yeah,
100%. Well, that part of high school, you know.
Only that part.
What was actually cool though with that like WLTV course was that we actually also like would take all of the equipment that was in the class and like have to do after school shoots. So like, you know how in like schools there'd be like a soccer game or like a football game or an orchestra concert or any of these, a talent show. Mm. So after like school would end, like this class would have to go to like shoots, we'd call them. And so like would have to go like unpack all the stuff out of a van, like run cables from like the switchers to like the cameras, have all these microphones set up. I mean, it was definitely like the nerds of high school. But it was like way cooler in hindsight when I like reflect on it. I'm like, that was a pretty cool experience for being like a kid in high school. And like, you know, like, we're going to go like do a football game and like be able to like direct a football game with like five cameras, all of like your friends and stuff in this class.
Pretty sweet.
So that was like super cool. I guess like kind of in high school I was still playing guitar, so I'd like joined a band, and you know, like when you're in a band you think you're gonna blow up, so you gotta record your music. At this point, you know, I'm like using better programs like Pro Tools and Logic and stuff like that just to kind of understand it. And at that point I had got like a multi effect board, like a multi pedal board.
Everything
and I was like, it was just a blast. So it was just like, yeah, it was just all kind of like building up into something. At this point I was like, Jesus, I hope I can, you know, turn this into something. I don't know what.
And then you find out about After Effects, or is there something?
Pretty close around that time. I don't think I'd gotten into After Effects too much in high school. I didn't have like a nice computer then, still just like our family computer. And then like we had an Avid editing bay, which was actually pretty nice. WLTP. So like after high school, I went to a school called Central Michigan University. It's not a very good school. It's in the middle of a cornfield. You know, it's like crazy when you look back, and it, like, you know, at the time everyone was saying it's like, oh, CMU has the best broadcast program in like the state of Michigan. So I was like, wow, broadcasting, like seems like animation. I didn't really understand broadcasting is no more like newscasting and like radio
quite
kind of
different. Thing.
So that's the college I went to. So when I went to this broadcasting course at CMU, fortunately CMU also had like I minored in like media design, so I took like art classes and stuff too. But this school was basically like a radio production course, which was pretty funny and a little ironic, because it's like, you know, the thing with CMU was like the college course was actually more outdated than my high school. So like, I was like explaining, like, I did like these high school shoots, you know, using old gear. And then I went to a college with even older gear. Like we're just using like tape decks. And so it was like this really weird experience where like literally my laptop at that point was like more powerful than like all six computers in this class.
That's cool.
So it was like, you're just kind of sitting there like scratching your head about like, why the heck am I paying for this? But like, you always hear you need a college degree. So whatever, I stuck with it. Some parts of CMU were cool. Of course, like I had a pretty embarrassing morning radio show at that time called Food for Thought, you know, broadcasted to 3.5 people every morning.
Interesting. Nice.
I hope no recordings exist, but like it was just kind of like this weird spot. Like I kind of was like, I'm gonna go do animation, and I kind of just like got dropped in a cornfield, and it was like I'm doing like a radio show. Kind of doing artwork,
different,
not quite
though,
And it was like, I don't want to call it depressing, but maybe just a little like, misleading. You kind of like, man, this is not the best broadcast program in the state of Michigan. Get
out here. Like, what am I doing? Kind of,
But it was cool because CMU did have actually like a game design course. Because like, again, this is like early 2000s, like Flash games were still pretty popular. So I was able like to get into like an animation course and actually make like more legit video games. Like, I don't want to call them video games, Flash games.
Yeah.
But, you know, like at that point I had learned like ActionScript and I could do like these weird little platform games for like 2D scrollers and like, I would design like the characters and different white walk cycles and like loop them and whatever. And it was kind of funny. It was kind of funny to be like learning radio as you're like watching radio die. You're like, this isn't encouraging.
Not the right time. You know?
At all.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was kind of interesting. I also did like, was still playing like music in college. And what's kind of cool is like, you know, everybody just wants to record music. So I like, me and my buddy, my roommate, started like, since we'd been in a band, like produced music, we seemed like we knew what we were doing. We started like recording other people on campus. So we'd record like rappers. We recorded like this dude, Joe Hertler, at one point. And he's like an actual artist now, which is crazy.
That's really cool.
All expectations.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just cool. It's just cool to like collaborate with people at that point and just like make music and try to like, it was really just like grasping at needles, like just trying to find something I can like do more than like a couple months, you know what I mean? And but it was like, it wasn't a bad experience, of course. It was just kind of like figuring out like what to be doing. And I think so anyway, I like graduated college, and even back then I think like motion graphics wasn't like an actual term, really. No, it was like just like motion graphics is like a 2008, 2009 kind of started to become like an industry term.
Yeah.
So when I graduated college, it was still like kind of crystallizing in that sense. And like, I guess everyone would still call like, I want an animation, like not a motion graphic or motion design. It was still
wasn't that popular, or wasn't not yet called that way, you know, or called that.
And but yeah, I kind of like knew I wanted to do animation. At this point, I've been like, you know, I don't want to say I was like, I mean, you wouldn't call like experience animating in PowerPoint like true animation. But it's like, man, I've been doing this since I'm 7. I'm like graduating college at 22. And I'm like, all right, like I just have done radio shows. I've done everything but what I want to be doing. So like, so yeah, I really wanted to try and become a motion designer, but lo and behold, graduating from a college in a cornfield in the middle of Michigan, there weren't a lot of job options. So I wound up moving back in with my parents, which is very exciting. And I got a job at a school district administrative office as like the media guy.
The media guy.
I'm pretty sure that was just my job title, but you know, this was a again, not a bad job. It's just like a weird job. So I would like be doing, I would like make maps in Flash that were like clickable for like the school district. I'd do like the newspapers. I'd do like first day of preschool graphics and like anything you can imagine a school district would make, I would be making. I worked in like
the graphics. Yeah.
I was just super, super pumped, you know, but
yeah,
I worked.
I can imagine.
I worked in the administrative office, and what just kind of sucked is like everyone else is like nearing retirement. They're like in their 60s, like actual administrators. And I'm just like this guy out of college, like sitting all by myself, just like making like preschool graphics about like, this is still not quite what I was looking for. So that's just a bit funny. But what was really funny about that job is they eventually found out I used to do WLTV, and they're like, oh, you do like high school broadcast shoots. We have a high school TV class. So I got high school experience by now being the teacher who would have to take students to these high school shoots. So I would like go watch like a middle school talent show, an elementary school talent show. Like I saw about 2 years worth of like elementary school orchestra concerts and stuff like that. And just like, I mean, I put in time for sure. you know, so again, I'm like 22, 23, maybe, probably like 23 around this point. And just still like, I wanted to do animation. I knew that's what I wanted to do. And it was like, it's really hard because it's like you're scratching the surface of what you're interested in, but not really doing what you want to be. But I think this is actually like a really good, like, like, I mean, living at home with my parents and just not doing what I want, it was a really good motivation to kind of like study motion design.
Yeah.
And like, at that point, like a real I think there's still like people do reels, but it's not as important. But yeah, like a reel was really important. So instead of having like a CV or a resume that you'd send a company, you just send like your reel.
Yeah, but kind of like your visual portfolio, you know? Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, at the time, mine was just like a little too eclectic, maybe. Like it had like Flash games, you know?
Everything
like,
on it,
all this weird stuff. And I don't think it really like sold me to any jobs. So I was just kind of stuck. So, you know, I had gotten a couple like freelance gigs for animation and like tried to get jobs and just do what I could. But the truth is, I think I was like pretty low. Like I just wasn't really feeling happy. But so what was nice about that also, like I just spent all my free time studying. Like it, as ridiculous as it sounds, I would like literally make like note cards for like all the keyboard shortcuts in an application.
Yeah, crazy.
Flip through them, study them, and I like every day I'd learn like every tutorial I could find. Like I'd finish my job, just go home and study. And
that sounds like a really productive time, even though you might feel like okay, I'm not doing like an actual job or something at this point, but it's like somewhere you need to it sounds like it's also been really motivating for you to kind of okay, I need to get this under control and I need to really learn all this stuff so I can eventually, you know, also make a living out of it or do something with this, you know.
100% Yeah, actually, you know, sometimes I think like you need to have struggle, like you need to have your back against the wall and just feel kind of hopeless, I think, because that's like you know, it's like you feel like a wounded animal or something. I hate that. But you know, it's just like, you're like, I got to get out of this situation. Like, I don't care what I have to do. So, you know, like you just kind of felt like that, you know,
you kind of dig down at that point or something, you know, you kind of, I don't know, set yourself up for like, you're trying to work on things to get out of that situation, you know? And if everything's like super comfortable and yeah, you're, like, not to say that you shouldn't be happy or something, but if everything's like really comfortable, you would probably won't do as much work, you know, to get out of such a situation, I think. Yeah,
100%. So yeah, it's kind of good, I guess, to have struggles. It's like, you know, maybe you should like, you know, like not pay your rent or something one month just to see what happens.
Find out.
Yeah, crazy. But yeah, so like around this time, I guess, you know, I'm still working at the school district, but yeah, I just would like spend all my time like studying animation, like doing artwork, drawing, doing whatever I could. And so now I guess this ties into like something probably more relevant to talk about. But, you know, during this time, I actually found like Nick Campbell and of Grayscale Gorilla and Andrew Kramer of Video Copilot, which are these two giant YouTube channels, and they like taught all these like free tutorials. And honestly, I think that's like what kind of inspired me later to make my own tutorials. But like, yeah, I like learned Cinema 4D from like Nick. You know, like my school obviously didn't have 3D software. I learned like better video compositing and like cooler graphics from Andrew. And yeah, I was just like, oh, I totally get it. Like, it was like the last piece of like animation I needed to like understand.
Yeah.
Or maybe not understand, but like get into my portfolio.
Yeah. And I feel like too, like that's maybe a time where, I don't know how this was before that time, but I feel like that was a time where these like YouTube tutorials were really like a big upcoming thing. Like you could more and more you can find all the information you need on YouTube, you know, by just looking up these people and watching videos from them doing it. So, and I think like before that wasn't maybe the situation that much, you know, with the whole YouTube thing not being as big before, maybe.
Yeah, I would actually totally, at least to my knowledge, I'd probably credit Andrew Kramer for being like the first animation tutorial guy. He's like, I mean, he paved the way for everybody. Yeah. I think he's like a total inspiration to see. I think it's really inspiring just to see someone like started out on YouTube. And I mean, now he's like in J.J. Abrams films and like making his own 3D software. And I mean, his whole like trajectory has just been like really inspiring. And I think what's also inspiring is just like that people can learn something and not feel like they have to keep it a secret, you know, like education is like, you know, this is really something I do believe is like education you shouldn't put a price tag on it. Like, you know, put a price tag on a laptop, put a price tag on like a microphone, but like not your access to the knowledge. And I think that was my like big problem with college. Like you could probably get that I paid a lot of money for college in a cornfield, but I don't think I really got an education from college. There's a lot.
As weird as that sounds, but it's, it could actually be true, I think. Yeah.
Especially now with so much more tutorials online and so much more online free courses most of the time as well. Why would you even pay for a college right now?
I mean, yeah, like the truth is you could probably like, at least back then, like Andrew and Nick, you probably could have learned more from them in a month than you could have been 4 years of college. Yeah, so,
absolutely.
You know, I've learned enough skills at that point to like make things that actually looked like professional and cool. And like every day, again, I'd be like making and studying this animation stuff, but I'd also be doing like job searches all around Michigan just to try to find any job that was in animation, like get me out of this school district. I can't work with these sleepy old people anymore.
Nice.
As wonderful as they were. But so I ended up getting finding a pretty decent like commercial video agency company. I won't mention the name just because. But they basically, their whole thing was like, we want to start providing motion graphics. We hear this is like this new thing. We want to make it. They don't know what they were like trying to get, but they hired me for basically nothing. I think I accepted the job before I knew what the salary was, which was probably a mistake. So I was like working at this 20 or 30 person like video production company as the only animator. And this company was like pretty hellbent on getting animation jobs. So they just would say yes to everything. And so I was very, very busy.
Yeah. I was like doing everything. You know?
Literally, I was doing like everything. But it was cool. You know, like I did everything from like these 30 minute like full 3D animations to like 3D vacuum renders to like liquid renders and all kinds of like stuff I never expected to be doing, but I kind of had to like learn on the fly. You know, I'm like the never say no attitude about like, well, you guys hired me to do this, so you don't even know.
Yeah.
But it's funny, it's like, yeah, you normally wind up working at a company that would like say yes to a client without even knowing like how much work it would be. They'd be like, oh yeah, no problem, we can make a 3D bird. And then they'd be like, can we make a 3D bird? And they'd be like, I'll learn.
No one knew how to do it, but just like, okay, we do it. It's crazy.
That was pretty intense because like at that job, you know, this was like my first job at animation. It was kind of like my whole life had kind of built up to that point. So you know, I just would like you know, I basically got walked on at this company a little bit. Like they would be like, oh yeah, can you work tonight? And I'd be like, not really. And they'd be like, well, at least take the computers home with you and run the renders. So I would like be at my apartment. I'd have like three computers from work, like all on my like counters, like all running renders all night. Like my apartment would get all hot, like three computers running renders all night.
That's crazy, and, man. Yeah.
It was like at that point, my entire life just was like animation all day, every day. And, you know, this is again like the thing we kind of spoke a couple of minutes ago about, just about like being the kind of the wounded animal feeling. Like I just, even though I was like doing animation, they paid me pretty much close to nothing. Like I have this distinct memory. There's like a time I went into like a grocery store to buy dinner, and I knew in my head I had $8 in my bank account. Yeah. So I'm like, this is like my food for the whole week. And I'm like walking around these aisles and I'm like, I can't afford that. Can't afford that. Can't afford that. I'm like, I was looking at like,
what am I going to buy?
Like a pack of chicken. Okay. I was like looking at a pack of chicken and it was like $9. And I was like, I can't even buy myself like chicken. I was like, I don't know what to do. Like it was a mess. But it was also like kind of good because at this point I'm like had moved across the state like to a job, to a new city. I was like working all the time. I didn't even have money to like go out and meet people. So I was just like no friends, all by myself, like working all the time. And I was like, wow, this is nuts. I'm like animating like 16 to 17 hours a day. But I was like, I mean, I was loving it. I'm not going to lie. I loved it and it was important. But
it was tough too, probably. Yeah,
for sure. I like got so much experience. I was doing like frame by frame animations to like programming to like, you know, and it was awesome. I was like animating so much. I like started to realize how processes could be sped up. So I had like from Flash, I knew ActionScript, and ActionScript is similar to ExtendScript, which is what like expressions are written in After Effects. So I was able to like start coding my own little tools just to like help me animate and like produce my work faster. Cause I was like, man, like no one else is doing this. I'll at least make my own little like wingman, you know, literally that's like what one of the slogans turned into for myself. Like I need a helper. So I made like my own helper that I didn't have to, you know, which is kind of stupid, but Yeah, I think one of the days I started like the YouTube channel. Sorry, should I keep talking? I feel like
no, it's
perfect. It's cool, man. It's cool. Okay. I think we're getting also to a really interesting part now. So that's really cool. Yeah.
Okay. Continue, cool. Please. But yeah, so like I was just working all the time. I was animating all the time. I'm like at my house all day, every day, animating. So I was like, man, I may as well record this. Like, what the heck am I doing?
Yeah, definitely.
Especially from like watching Andrew Kramer and stuff, like always doing tutorials. I was like, man, I'm like literally, you know, I go to work, I have a problem or like a bug I would bump into. I would come home and just like figure out the bug. And then I just like record a video about how I solved the bug or like how I made a fix or like whatever. Yeah. So it was actually like a perfect workflow to be like working on something, hitting a problem, coming home, working on it, but able to also like almost double dip and like make something for myself too and like be able to broadcast it. So that was like, I guess that's what the company gave me.
And it's pretty smart that you just you find a problem yourself, you're trying to fix it, but instead of just okay, now I fixed it, you just share like the fix you just did. Like, it's okay, I found this problem, hey, maybe some more people have that same problem, you know, let's just share it. And apparently I think a lot of people have the same problem, so they then find you and can use it too, so that's really nice.
It was seriously like a really perfect situation for a little bit there for sure. So it was awesome. I mean, at that point, I would say I was like the peak of my animation ability. You know, I was like doing 3D ringing, 2D ringing, 3D animation, color grading, programming, anything and everything. And I was like just a bonfire of experience at this company, which was cool. During this time, I kind of mentioned I was like kind of programming my own tools and uploading these tutorials for free. And one day, like somebody commented like, hey, can I PayPal you and get that like little panel? At this point, it was just called like Motion or something. It was just like, I think 7 or 8 buttons of just like helpful little things I had made. Yeah. And I was like, I guess, like whatever. You know, so this dude like PayPal me. I wish I could know his username or something, but... Yeah, and pretty much ever since then, I've just been, like, doing this, you know? Yeah,
nice.
So then, because you made tutorials after that, obviously, but then in the end, you also saw maybe that the plugin thing was more, you could get more sales from it, or, like, a better company from it, or where did that start?
Yeah, so it kind of snowballed again. I think it more started with like doing the tutorials just gave me like, this is like the funny thing where tutorials are so valuable because I wound up like back when I was first doing YouTube, it was still like kind of what you said, Jewel, like there weren't like a lot of tutorial makers out there. So I was like one of a couple. So I was pretty visible if someone typed in After Effects. But what was nice is like, I think there's a lot of people who'd like, I'll just do it myself. And then like look and be like, I'll just see if I can hire him. So I was getting at that point, like a ton of freelance offers. Like my emails were just always blowing up with like this job, this job, this job. And at that point I was still working at the company and my salary was just horrible. And I saw like one job, freelance job I got offered was literally my entire year's salary. And I was like, what am I doing? So so I left the company and just was like doing tutorials for full time. But the tutorials were at that point still just like almost a way where I was like getting freelance work from them more.
Also before the time that you could really get money from YouTube then with ads and
I think I was making like some money with ads. Like I mean, it was weird. Like the whole point of my channel was like an educational channel. So I actually never put ads on a lot of my videos just because I was like, Yeah, and I also, I mean, it's different now because, like, with the Google algorithms, like, they want ads to serve ads. Yeah. So that's, like, how you need ads almost to get your video to be seen because otherwise Google's just paying to host your video for no reason and not making anything.
Yeah.
But, back then it was just, like, it was pretty just a weird time. And I wasn't really making money from, like, I think I had sold, like, 8 plugins or whatever through like PayPal, like just someone had commented to me like, hey, did you sell that guy one? I want one too.
Seems like that's kind of where it started though, like you just using these things yourself and then some people winding up saying, hey, can I get that, can I use that too? And it's kind of maybe like you say snowballed into that later on probably.
That's also the best way to probably sell someone else something. You can only sell it if you really use it yourself and really think it's valuable. It has some value to sell.
Yeah, but I mean, the truth was really low. Like, I never thought I was going to be selling plugins or making plugins. I never thought I was going to be making user interfaces or anything like that.
It's a cool thing, yeah.
But I mean, it's funny. Like, when I do look back and I'm like, yeah, I was like, when I was 7, I was like building like buttons, like stupid Flash games, and now I'm just like building other kinds of buttons.
Yeah, it's so. it took a while, but you got back to it.
Eventually, you're still making buttons again.
Yeah. Seriously, yeah, Luke, you know this.
Yeah.
So now you're obviously making the plugins and not so much tutorials anymore. But the products, obviously, you have to keep them up to date and make new ones to satisfy your user base and also satisfy the large number of people using the plugins every day. So what is your mindset in towards dealing with an unexpected obstacle or challenges with these plugins or with the company now?
So yeah, this is actually something I'm probably still trying to learn and understand, I guess. I think the biggest thing, I guess, would just be like, yeah, this is a really hard question, I guess, because like unexpected obstacles and challenges, you don't really know how long they'll last. You know, like some things might be a day, some things might be a week, some things go on for months. I mean, some issues go on for a year even. And it's like, I think the hardest thing is just to like remind yourself, like everything ends at some point. And if you're doing something that you're passionate about, it's going to be worth it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of my perspective for what, like, cool. Hitting an obstacle or challenging is be like, okay, like it's gonna be over at some point and we'll get better. And on the other side of it, I do want to mention, just since now I work with like obviously other people, is like we got like a relationship coach. And I know that sounds really stupid when you first hear it, but long term I think it's going to be really valuable, because like now as like a software company and working with like collaborating with like other developers and stuff, you don't really realizing it, but like building a product or a company together is very much like getting an unexpected kid. Like, you don't really think about it, but it's like, I want to have it teach him soccer. No, I want to teach him like dance or something. Yeah. But it's like, think about that in terms of like a tool you're making. So I think it's also just like learning how to balance needs. And this woman that we started working with just a year ago, her name's Valerie. She's just been like really good to help balance people's needs and like understand how people work together, because like you know, like building a company or like a longer term relationship with someone and goal together is like, it is a relationship, and it's something maybe you don't want to always admit, but it's like, yeah, it's been good to realize, definitely. Like, yeah, there's like you just need some help sometimes.
That's kind of interesting, because it's if you think about it, it's especially like you say, when you're working with other people, then you notice like, hey, in the end, it all does come down to like communicating in a good way. Because if that doesn't go well, then probably there will be a whole lot more issues. You know, if one issue comes up and you can't communicate in the right way, someone else is doing something else and you're not like working smoothly together, then this will create even more problems, you know. So eventually it will all come down to, yeah, like you say, the communication between people, and then having someone to kind of have that go more smoothly, then yeah, that can actually really help, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. And it's just like collaborating with people, especially like if you look at like, I think everybody when they're pursuing their passion, it's like a very me kind of thing, or like, you know, and then all of a sudden there's like us to think about. So yeah.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
Maybe that's the hard part as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Maybe because we have, I think, a couple minutes here. Maybe the last question that we wanted to ask, like, maybe this is also a tough one, I don't know, but what would be your best advice to like every starting young kid out there who, say, you know, just discovered maybe After Effects or some other kind of program or application that they want to get into and are hoping to make eventually, you know, a passion or a living out of their passion? What would you say would be your best advice for those people?
Yeah, well, there's actually like a couple here. I don't know if I'm the best person to say it or anything like that, but I think it's just like, don't give up on something, because it's like, there's so many times, like, I mean, there's so many like ebbs and flows in a career. Like there can be like really, really low points, really, really low months. I mean, some of like the things we've made have taken like a year and a half to actually like make public or something. And it's like at any point we could have walked away from it. But if you're like passionate about something or you're really interested, it's like don't give up on the goal because you're giving up on yourself, really.
Yeah.
But also, I'll say within that, that it's good to also realize like everything comes to an end too. So it's like this weird thing to balance is like, you know, always pursue something you're really passionate about, but don't just pursue something you used to be passionate about. If you're like, oh, I used to be good at this. Well, don't like, you know, if your interests change, like allow yourself to change too.
Yeah.
And I'll actually, if you don't mind, I just want to mention two other quick things.
Definitely.
For sure. I would have to say a thank you to like my parents. I think the funniest thing is like, you don't realize like your parents, I hope, you know, at least my parents were like super supportive of me and just always were like, you can do it. You can do it. Like they never like said I couldn't do something or I wouldn't be able to. And I think that was just really encouraging. And then the only other one I throw in there is definitely like a notebook is like the most valuable thing in the entire world. Just to like, you know, I love digital things as much as anybody, but you can never get your ideas out faster than just like with a pencil and paper.
I like that.
It's super, super nice. And then also I'd say just read The Fountainhead to see if you can pursue your passion.
Nice.
Because
that's a good one. We'll put a link in the show notes and to everyone.
Definitely.
Well, Matt, thanks a lot for your really interesting story, I have to say. Definitely like a cool, like you say, the career you already had definitely some ebbs and flows. And I think it's really cool to know a little bit more about that now. And yeah, thank you for like sharing your story.
Thanks.
Absolutely. And shout out to Antiwaves for the best clothing ever.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. For more episodes, check out antiwaves.com.